For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Allison Bektesh. Here in the studio with me today is Shirley Ritter, Director of Kids First. Shirley, thank you so much for coming in to speak with me.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
We're talking about a survey that Kids First conducted over the spring that was just recently released. Can you tell me first who you were going after in the survey? What was the demographic?
Yeah, absolutely. We were looking for families that live or work in the Aspen area and that have children either birth to five or they expect to have children birth to five. So we talked to the bigger employers. That was our first target because that's where those employees work. That's how we could contact them most easily. We also went through the Aspen Chamber and through Housing Authority.
And then what were some of the questions on the survey? What were you trying to get at?
Well, we were really looking for a need for capacity because we know right now the existing child care programs are very full. We have an average 96% capacity in all of the programs for all of the ages, and those programs have wait lists from probably maybe 20 up to 50 families on the wait list up here. So we know there's a need from that perspective, but we really wanted to hear from families.
What resources are there currently in Aspen and Pitkin County for child care? Are they small private organizations? Is there a bigger network at all?
There's a little bit of both. By and large, our programs are small because our population is small compared to a lot of big places. We have programs that have, they're all private. Some are nonprofit, some are for-profit. We have the school district-based program, and we have small programs that are just, you know, two rooms, one room of toddlers, one room of preschoolers. We do, because we have Kids First through the city, they are networked. We have regular meetings. They are in touch with us and with each other. That's the other benefit of being a small group. We all kind of know each other.
And then the results of this survey, what were some of the needs or problems that you heard most from the people who took the survey?
I think we got really interesting results. We had 535 people that responded to the survey in the first place. And then when that narrowed down to our target population, we had 330. So out of that, first of all, it's interesting to know that about 80% work in Aspen, but also 44%, so nearly half, live in Aspen. Of those people, there was quite an income range, so it was nearly evenly split from less than $50,000 for an annual income for a family up to $150,000 or more. And what's interesting is that there was not a statistical difference in how those folks in different income brackets answered the questions. So in the findings, I think one of the things, in addition to what we just talked about, the capacity that we already know, when we asked people the question about in the next 5 years, will you have children birth to five or do you expect to have children? I mean, this is as reported by parents, so it could change, but that increase was in the number of children in the next 5 years compared to now, 67% increase. So I guess I might be telling everybody too that I think we're going to have a baby boom here coming up. So then we also looked at what people preferred in a couple of different areas. So first of all, if you use childcare now, do you use a home-based care? Does somebody come into your home? Is it center-based? Do you stay home with your kids? What's your situation? And then we asked that same question, but in the ideal situation, what would you like to have happen? And in that response, between those two questions, we saw a 35% increase in people who would like to use center-based care as opposed to those who are now currently doing that. So probably somewhere in between those two numbers, conservatively, I think we're looking at a 35% increase in the need for childcare over the next 5 years. We also asked about what they considered their ideal location. And those answers were close to work, close to home, on the bus route, you know, at work. And the highest answer came in that they wanted it close to work. 60% said, I'd like to have my childcare close to work. 45% chose close to home. And again, keeping in mind, for where these people live and work, that could still be the same location. We then asked people, what kind of need did they have for childcare? Was it full-time, year-round? Was it part-time? Was it seasonal? And I think this might surprise some people because there were certainly all of those answers, but far and away, people needed year-round care, mostly full-time, in some cases, say fewer days per week, but still year-round. I got the sense, reading these results, that, and we already know this, but people work really hard here. The other part of that question about what they needed for childcare, what their ideal situation would be, we asked about hours. Does a program from 8 to 4, or even a half-day program? Those got a few answers, but by and large, the vast majority of people needed care from 7:30 in the morning till 5:30 in the afternoon. So those people are working the more traditional hours, and they want care that covers that. There were a few respondents that wanted earlier than 7:30 in the morning or later than 5:30 in the afternoon. So I don't know if that's doable for that number of people, but I think it does present an opportunity for a childcare provider that might be interested in doing that.
Does Kids First have any research or recommendations for those center-based early childhood years? I was thinking there might not be that big of a difference between the incomes because, of course, someone with higher income could hire someone to come into their home or watch their kid at all times. But what they're wanting is that social interaction, those early childhood years to be in that environment. And that environment is full in the county.
Right now it is. And so, you know, to think back about the research, yes, I think there is significant brain development research, child development, that talks about what it takes for children to be ready for school. Now, that is not to say that they don't get that at home and with their parents. But when you factor in that parents are doing their best, but they're working and they're working a lot of jobs, I know from personal experience how exhausting that can be, how stressful that is. And then when you sort of add that added requirement of you, if you will, of, well, now, you know, you have to spend 30 minutes reading and you should really be working on science and nature. You should be getting outdoors. You should be providing a healthy meal. It becomes a little bit daunting. So I do think people rely on center-based childcare, preschool programs to provide that socialization and some of that enriched learning experience. I think the other reason for the answer, particularly what we heard from people, what came up, their biggest need was a space to start with, someplace they could find a space that they liked, that worked for them, and the cost of care. Childcare is expensive. It takes a big chunk out of a family's budget. It's also expensive to provide. The cost of labor here, all the other costs that go into providing that care that maybe people don't realize, but if you even think about your own business and your own life, you know, there are taxes, there are insurance, there's rent, there's food for the children, there's materials. All of that costs money. So that's one of the reasons that I think that answer about cost came up. A number of years ago, Kids First started a financial aid program. And it really starts where the child care assistance program through the state for low-income families, where that maximum income ends. We pick up there and we go up. We go up to 500% of federal poverty level, which sounds like a lot, but federal poverty level is really, really low. So we help, on average, about 50 families at any given point in time. And those families pay between maybe 14 and 17% of their income after getting that financial aid from Kids First. Without that, it would be astronomical. It would be 30, 40% or more, which leaves very little for housing, for insurance, for food, for transportation. And that's why we do that. But of course, there is a budget. And so we stop at the 500%. And for a family of four, that's a little over $100,000. So that sounds like a lot of money, but you've got other expenses, and perhaps you have two children in care at the same time, 5 days a week. That can be a cost to a family of about $36,000 a year. So again, they could still be just over our ability to reach And they could still be paying a big chunk. Cost is still a factor for those families.
30 to 40% of your take-home pay to put your kid somewhere while you work?
Right. I mean, how would that work for most of us? And, you know, it's tough because I don't want to paint this as a mom issue because I don't think it is. But it does generally affect moms more. But you're asking moms then to give up a career without that income, even though a good chunk of it goes to childcare. How do they make the rest of their expenses? So there are other choices. And I will tell you that at Kids First, we talk to a number of people that after they have that baby or maybe the second baby and they've considered what those costs are, they kind of come to us and go, so what does it take to be a licensed home provider? Is that an option? Now, clearly, not everybody is cut out for that or wants to do that. But I think it's a good option for people that are interested in that.
So of the biggest issues you heard from the respondents, one was just that they didn't have a place that the centers were full. The second was cost.
Right. That's correct.
Were there other findings that came out of the study that you hadn't been focused on prior that maybe is a new trend or that you were just surprised by the majority who spoke about a certain issue?
I think the information that we got about the need and about the difficulty of finding space, I think we know that because we hear that just anecdotally from people and we hear it from the providers. We get calls of people that are just pregnant that are calling us to find infant care. And they're surprised to start with that there are so few programs that offer that. And then when we tell them they should get on the wait list right away because there might not be a space available, we get emotions that range from disbelief, like, so what else have you got, to shock, to tears, and even to anger. You know, how could we let this happen? Well, I'm not sure who we are. I do think this is a bigger issue. It clearly does not just affect us. And it is something that is going to need a bigger solution.
So part of doing the study and presenting to City Council is to look forward. Are there some brainstorms or who could even take this on?
Good question. I mean, the city certainly has taken responsibility for many years about helping families and helping childcare programs. So I think that we probably are the leaders in pulling this together and coordinating these efforts. We do plan to have a follow-up meeting with these businesses that helped us put the survey out because it does concern their employees. And I think there are some things that all of us can do short term. The other thing that came out is that people in their work life, they either really appreciated the flexibility that their employer offered them or they didn't have that. And that's what they really, really need, whether it's a sick child or a snow day or going to a parent-teacher conference. So I think there are some things that can be done that way. I think we do need to look at capacity, but one of our next steps at Kids First, with council direction, is that we will look at a feasibility study because we don't know at this point how much a new space would cost. It's a pretty hefty price tag in this community. We don't know the cost of maintaining, for instance, the yellow brick building that already houses childcare. That has to be part of that equation. And we have operational costs at Kids First, our programming that we do. So if we increase programs by 25%, what does that mean for our operating and can we sustain that?
Let's talk a little bit more about Kids First. How long have you been around, especially in association with the city, and how is that funded?
Well, it started because there was a ballot question in 1989 that asked for a dedicated sales tax, 0.45%, so actually pretty small, that was to go to affordable housing and childcare. So it evolved after that. It evolved as a department of the city of Aspen, which is great because we have that structure and that support. And even those needs have changed as that tax renewed and we've been here now 26, I shouldn't do math. We've been here a long time. And so things, we started out with grants to the programs, because going back to that time, there weren't very many programs. There wasn't a lot of care being offered. And the programs that existed were so short of funds that there was a lot of deferred maintenance and a lot of issues that needed to be addressed. As we moved forward, the cost became a big factor. And so the financial aid program was started and administered by our office. And it's grown to what it is now and helps the number of families that it has now. We also became very much aware that this really is a multifaceted issue. There is always going to be capacity need. There is the affordability issue. And then the quality issue. So it was interesting, even in our survey, the people that have childcare, we got comments about what they liked or didn't like about their program. And mostly it was really good. You know, they worry that programs struggle to keep good teachers, but they typically love the teachers that their child has. So that was good news. So we do, part of our program has to do with assessment and coaching. We do a quality improvement grant that programs can ask for the things that they need to improve quality. We also offer an infant toddler operational funding amount. And this is primarily because those infant and toddler programs are very expensive to operate. The ratios are much lower. I mean, can you imagine taking care of three or four babies, which is kind of it? That's the good ratio. But if the state or quality didn't require that, it would look more like sort of a warehouse situation, which would be horrible for the kids and for the teachers. So it's expensive to provide that. So we kind of do an underlying funding amount to really ensure that those infant toddler programs remain accessible to people. A couple of other things that are relatively new for Kids First, we contract to provide mental health consultation in the early childhood classrooms. That social emotional development has gotten to be much more recognized as a developmental issue for young children going into school and succeeding in school. It's a very hard thing to test, but it's very important how you cope, how much hope you have, how much grit and determination you have. And there are things that can happen and be done about that when children are very young. The other new program that I'm very excited about is that we have, for about the last year, we have a nurse consultant on our staff. This is a small requirement by the state, but we've expanded on that because there, in that area of child health, there's a great deal that can be done that supports the programs and the families. So our nurse has done hearing screenings, dental screenings, vision screenings. She goes in and checks immunization records. All of these things, they're very different, but they're very critical to having a really healthy childcare program.
This is going to make me sound like the worst potential mother of all time, but for the parking department, we want one more open space than cars that need it. So there's always an open space. I feel like we would want the same for childcare. We would want one extra parking spot.
Well, you and I probably have that same ideal world picture. But there is a balance. It's expensive, first of all, and we know that in Aspen and Pitkin County, just finding available space, let alone an appropriate space and a place to have a great space for children, is difficult and it's expensive. And the other part of the balance is that childcare programs need to have a certain capacity to be a viable business. And they do. They already rely on Kids First support. They rely on fundraising events and grants. So if there were a lot of open spaces, it would diminish their ability to run their business.
Did you have a part of the survey where it was like just open-ended, like someone could make a statement? And did any quotes stick with you?
We did. The very last question was pretty much, you know, tell us what else is important to you. And we're in the process of sort of bunching them together. Like I said, it's different. If parents have childcare, it was more about their concerns about keeping good teachers and being able to afford it. If they didn't have childcare or maybe didn't have kids yet, it was the ability of, am I going to be able to find a space And then, oh my gosh, how am I going to afford it? And there were, like I said, there were some specific questions either for their current childcare program, for the community at large, sometimes geared back for their employers, what they would like to see their employers do. So that will be part of our meeting conversation.
Wonderful. Is there anything I didn't touch on that you want to make sure the listeners know about this survey or what you do?
Well, I really appreciate that people took this survey, and certainly the businesses and the employers that wholeheartedly cooperated with this, they care very much too. I mean, they clearly want to keep their good employees, but they understand the connection between healthy children, ready for school, good workforce. So I think that's important, and I'm so thrilled. I'm lucky that I get to do what I get to do at Kids First, but it's to have that community support in this community is rare, and we're so lucky.
It's one of those problems where I didn't know that it was there, and I mean, I'm relatively new, but I'm a reporter in town, so if I didn't know, who else doesn't know that this is happening?
Well, I do think that is one of the barriers that we face as a community, but as Kids First, because if you're new here, if you're single or even married and don't have kids, it's just not your issue. And then it becomes your issue very quickly. But then there is also this window of time where you are dealing with that, with the financial aspects, with the stress, with everything. And then your child moves on to kindergarten and public school. And not to say that there are no parenting issues as kids get older. It's very much a trade-off, but it's different. And it's not an everyday thing. And those people tend to move on with their kids. They get involved in that school. They get involved in sports, whatever. And so we have this sort of small window where we constantly have to keep re-educating people.
Again, I've been speaking with Shirley Ritter, the director of Kids First. Shirley, thank you so much for coming into the studio today.
It's been a pleasure.